We're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And this is one of my favorite books of the Bible. If you're looking for the meaning of life, it's a great book to go to because we have the story of a Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes who did many, many different things. He experimented on finding what the true meaning of life was. And it goes from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing until you get to the last chapter where he finally lets you know in what the secret is to life. And that is to honor God. And so it took him all that time to do that. So I don't know if it's the end. I would hope that this book was written at the end of his life and not the beginning of his life. Because how many know what the ending of his life was like? It wasn't very good. But he had a good start. And so I encourage you, read that book. It is an enlightening book. It's very, I don't know what to say. It's for today. It's realistic to where we live today. And if I would ask some of you that have been around the block, and even some of you teenagers, this is going to be directed to our graduates here today and to our younger part of our congregation here. When we begin to remember the past, we get a little bit nostalgic, and we begin to remember the good things, remember the bad things. But how many know that the bad things kind of lose its power over the years? And somehow, we always remember the good old days, and we forget about the bad old days. How many know that when you're starting out in life, things weren't always that great? And somehow, we forget that they weren't so great. But what we do remember is the good times. And the most important thing that we need to remember is Him. We need to remember God. We need to remember Jesus Christ. And so some of us here today, there's more days behind us than there are ahead of us. Amen? And then there are those who have more days ahead of them than that are behind them. But it's important what we do in those days that God gives us. And so we're going to look at that here today. So Solomon gives young people a little wisdom on how to live their life without regrets. And so that's the title of my sermon here today, No Regrets. Father, I just ask as we get into your word here today, I ask, Lord, that you enlighten us, that you encourage us, that we'll look at the life of Solomon and we'll look at our own lives and see, Lord, that you have a plan for us, as Karen quoted here today, that scripture, a purpose for us, Lord. You want to bless us. And so, Lord, today we're asking, Lord, that you would show us how to tap into that. Or if we haven't tapped into it, Lord, that we be encouraged to tap into what you have provided and want us to do. So, Lord, we love you. We give you the praise and the glory. And everybody said, amen. So we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I have it divided into 3 points. I don't know if you were taught 3 points in a poem. Is pretty much the structure of a sermon. Today I have 3 points, but no poem. So today we're going to look at verse 1, starting in Ecclesiastes 12, 1. And I want you to see here that the first thing, my first point here today is don't forget your Creator. So that's our first point here today. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth. Before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember Him before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dimmed to your old eyes and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember Him before your legs start to tremble and before your shoulders stoop. Remember Him before your teeth stop grinding and before your eyes see dimly. And so, I don't know how many of you ever read this scripture before, but this is going to be an encouragement to you. In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, if you're familiar with the movie, we have Donna Reed and Jimmy Stewart. They're singing Buffalo Gals as they have just went to a dance. They fell into the pool. Now they're in robes and they're walking down the street and they're singing. And as they're standing in front of an older gentleman's house, they're getting very close to the point of kissing. And of course, Jimmy Stewart's character does not kiss the girl, and the guy has to say on the show, well, just kiss the girl. He's watching them. And he makes a statement that youth is wasted on the young, which is also a George Bernard Shaw quote. And so as older people here today, how many wish we knew then what we know now, right? Only if we knew then what we know now, if we could download some of those, that wisdom, if we could download some of those experiences to back then, it would apply, in our mind, be a good thing. But as we get older, we enter a time warp. How many know that? We see that time goes faster. When you're young, time is slow. You have some goals. You're shooting for things. But when you're older, it seems like, boom. How many know this is June already? Christmas is just around the corner, right? All right? We are in a time warp. Time goes faster. We have a different perspective. Priorities change. And we begin to appreciate things as we age. We appreciate things more than we did when we were young. And even when looking back, we can appreciate some of the things that God has brought us through. So graduates, you will discover a new sense of freedom. It's an exciting time of your life. That's what Solomon said here. It's exciting. But you're at a moment in time when you will begin to choose your priorities. There is no one hovering over you and saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to go here, you need to do that, you need to get a job. And do you hear that one yet? All right. So there won't be that hovering so much anymore. There will be decisions, and with those decisions, there will be weightier consequences because your parents won't be there. They won't be the safety net anymore, and you're going to have to face some of those consequences of your decisions. So Solomon wrote, in your excitement of being a youth, don't forget your Creator. Honor Him while you are long. I was excited this March when we had a number of missionaries come through. And three of our missionary couples were young couples. We had the Detrolios, we had the Brickers, and we had the Perdans. And today we have Josh and Laura with us. Newlyweds, all three of those. The Perdans were married 4 years, which isn't very long. They're newly married. They have committed their life to God. And they are pursuing an exciting calling upon their lives. And so I believe, in my heart, it was a worthwhile investment because they're still enjoying the sunrise, all right? And they're not looking towards the sunset like some of the rest of us. Some of us are in retirement. Some of us are heading towards retirement, and our eyes are looking forward. And so we're excited about what God is doing in these young people's lives. So the objective that we want to live with is that we live a life with no regrets. If we lay the right foundation, we will look at our life when it is over and we will say, I have no regrets. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says this, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if we will lay a foundation of Jesus Christ in our life, we can live a life that we will not have to have regrets at the end. So we know what the Sermon on the Mount ended with. We were either going to build on the rock or we're going to build on the sand. And so I want to encourage you today to follow the advice of Solomon, who said, do not forget to what? Do not forget to honor your Creator. And so that was his first piece of advice. His second piece of advice was open doors. And we go to verse 4 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And you will pick up these words, remember him, throughout these scriptures that we're reading here today. Remember him before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now, today, you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then when you're a little bit older, all the sounds will grow faint. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets. Before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom, and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper. And the caper berry, which is today's Viagra, no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. It's kind of depressing, isn't it? It's sobering. Let's put it that way. It's not discouraging, but it's sobering. I want you to think a little bit here today. So life's opportunities come and go. And throughout life, there's going to be those spontaneous decisions that we make on the spur of the moment. But there are also those things, opportunities that come because we've planned and we've prepared for those opportunities. In Revelation chapter 3:7, Jesus says this, the one, Jesus is speaking, who has the key, what he opens, no one closes, and what he closes, no one can open. So Jesus is actively directing our lives. And sometimes those things that we thought we missed out on, look at it today as a closed door. How many have made some decisions and a door closed and you kind of felt bad because that door closed? Maybe it wasn't so bad after all because maybe it was God that was closing that door. There are a lot of things that I wanted to do and I look back and I'm glad I didn't do them. Because it wasn't a door that God was opening. It was a door that he was closing because he had something else in store for me. Solomon is pointing out in this story that there is a thing called aging out. I hope you're not aged out here today. But as we age, we cannot always do what we did when we were younger. How many amens? Amen. We were out in our yard yesterday carrying these rocks that we couldn't even move. And we felt our age, let me tell you. So this aging out affects us physically. We cannot keep the same pace as when we were younger. We don't have the same stamina. We can't handle the same stress that we did when we were younger. One of the things that I discovered, we had our kids later in life. We adopted our kids. And I found out that it's a good thing to raise your kids when you're young. I'll tell you, because then you had the strength, you had the stamina to do it. And so we're grateful for our kids, but I wish it would have came a little earlier in life. And the AG kind of understood this thing of aging out. At one time, they had a rule that nobody over the age of 50 could become a missionary for the Assemblies of God. And there's various reasons, just some of the things that I'm talking about, some of the things that you could do when you were younger, you can't do today. But what we understand now is that some things have changed. The way we do missions has changed. It is no longer such a physical thing, but now instead of doing the physical work, building churches, doing this, you teach the natives to do the work. And so it has changed considerably the way we do missions. And the Assemblies of God have discovered that there is a pool of experience, there is a pool of talent that is waiting for those that are 50 and over. And so they have kind of changed their way of thinking in some aspect to missions. We had the Wedlegs. How many remember the Wedlegs? Dan and Teresa came through. They're in their 60s, and they are going to the mission field. They are going to the Middle East. They are going to language school to become missionaries. Hallelujah. But we often misquote the scripture, Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And we often apply that to the callings on our life, but that's not what the scripture is. In context of that scripture, it's God's promises concerning Israel. They were eternal and they were unconditional, that they are God's chosen people. And he wasn't going to change his mind about it. But sometimes we apply that to the calling of our lives, but it's not necessarily true because of this thing called aging out. If God was calling us at 20, the things he wanted us to do may not be the things that we can do when we're 50 or 60 years old. So we have to think when the call comes, what do we need to do? We need to obey. See, most of the time, we need to realize as we're going through life here that there are opportunities come in windows. Or in the scripture that we read, in doors. Doors may only be open for a short period of time. How many know things are changing? They change all the time. And it comes down to we either move it or we lose it. How many have had God kind of impress you to do something in the spur of the moment and you didn't do it? And guess what? We missed an opportunity to minister in some capacity at that moment in that time. And so we've got to be very careful to be obedient when God is speaking to our heart. Petra had a song out, and one of the verses said, "Good things come to those who wait and not to those who hesitate." And so we can't hesitate. As the people of God, we need to be ready and waiting upon God for that call in that moment, in that time, that he wants us to do something. I want to tell you this story, and I don't know how this ties in or how you want to look at it. You may say I'm off the wall with this description, but there was a kid that I grew up with. I really didn't know him in school until later in high school in 11th and 12th grade. I didn't think much of him at the time when I met him. And how many of you have ever met somebody that you didn't really care for and then you ended up becoming great friends with? It was kind of one of those situations. And he began dating a friend of mine, which was a girl. And just to kind of clarify today, all right? And she was raised Wesleyan Methodist. And if you're familiar with it, they're very holiness-centered. And so they didn't appreciate him very much at all. But as he began to walk with God, as he became involved with the youth group, God began to change his life. And he became dedicated to the Lord and ended up marrying Debbie, the daughter of the Wesleyan Methodist. And so as life proceeded, he went to Christian College, and he began a ministry with the youth. And in our town, there was a Catholic church that was vacant, and the Nazarene Church there in town bought it as a youth center. And so that became his calling. That became his drive in life. That's what God was giving him at the moment. And there became a controversy began to rise whether it was a viable ministry within the church. Do we want to continue to invest in this youth center? And so he was in the center of it, and he was that person up front saying, yes, we need to do it. We need to do it. We need to reach the youth. And so that situation was going on. And we were in our first pastorates, and I got a call from Debbie one day. And we were in our 30s, our early 30s at this time. And she called to tell me that Brian had been killed in a car wreck. And so, I mean, what do you do with that, you know? A 30 years old car wreck. They had two children. And so, of course, we went to the funeral. And on the very day that he was buried, the church sold the church building. And so it was the end of the youth center. But this thought was in my heart and my mind. And I kind of thought it was ironic that on the same day that we buried him, put him in the ground, that ministry closed. And I don't believe Brian had any regrets concerning the ministry that God gave him. But I just kind of correlated his life with his calling, that his calling ended the same day his life ended. You see, God gives us open doors. He gives us open doors personally as individuals to respond and to do things for him. There's also a corporate sense in this way, too, that there are open doors that we as a church, we see things going on in our community, we see things going on in the lives of people, and we have open doors at that moment, that time. And sometimes as churches, we miss those opportunities to get involved, to become part of the solution. God is always speaking to us, church. He is. And we need to respond. Open doors are just windows. They're doors that will open, they will close. So as we look at this today, there are going to be open doors that God will provide for you. And we encourage you with Solomon's third point, don't wait. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 6 and 7, it says, yes, remember your Creator. Now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken, don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well. For then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. My question today is, what are you waiting for? When we're young, there's no limitations. There are no hindrances. There are no expectations other than get a job. It's an opportunity to spread our wings. It's a time to dream big because our future is wide open. And I just want to encourage our young people. As you dream big, whatever you do now will set the agenda for your life. And so we go back to his first point, remember God. Remember Jesus Christ. Let them be part of the foundation of your life. We sometimes get this idea that serving Jesus is a prison. Some people think that serving Jesus, being called of God, doing something for God is a prison. But I want to tell you that it's not true. There is no limitations with God. There is no drudgery with God. It is not a burden to respond to the call of God on your life. But I want to tell you, it is exciting to follow God. It is an adventure to follow God. And it is a risk. Yes, there is. These are opportunities to see him work in our life. One of the things my mom often said, you know, sometimes being a Christian is boring. We're not allowed to do anything. The only thing we're allowed to do is eat. And how many know we overeat half the time, right? But life is so much more than that. It is exciting. It is an adventure. It is a risk, but it is worth it. I graduated on June 14th. 1982, and on June 15th, 1982, the next day, I was off pursuing God. I left home the day after I graduated to follow God. The truth is, if we wait, we may miss our life's opportunities because of things. What happens is things change. How many know we change? We change a lot. And the routine you begin now will be the routine a lot of times that will control the rest of your life. I heard this definition a long time ago by a preacher. It said, a rut is nothing more than a grave with the ends kicked out. Folks, you don't want to be in a rut. You don't. If we wait, we won't miss our life's opportunities. Because we change, our bodies change. Look around you. It's not hard to keep this six-pack. I have to work very hard to keep it. When you're younger, you didn't have a problem. When you get older, it becomes a problem. Our bodies change. And that's what Ecclesiastes 12 is all about, right? Solomon's telling you, hey, we're aging. Things are changing. And the things you can do when you're young, you're not going to be able to do when you're older. Our responsibilities and our obligations change. And then we also have others to consider. When we get married, what? It's not only your opinion anymore. It's just hers. All right. But you have to consider the other person because they do have a different opinion. They do have a different view of life. We have children that come along. And how many of you know that life changes when kids enter into the picture? How many know that even when you grow older, sometimes you have to not only deal with your partner, your kids, but then you got to deal with their parents? One of the things that we weren't expecting is to take care of our father. But that didn't stop us. We drug him along with us. We had two daughters that questioned us when we moved from one place to the other and said, why did you move us here? You didn't ask our opinion. We didn't want to move here. But guess what? It's not about you. I am not going to orchestrate my life over my kids. They're going to fit their life into my life. Right, Destiny?
Daniela?
All right. You see, one kid didn't even follow us here, so you know how that worked out. So we need to consider others. And the longer we wait, the more difficult it is to follow Jesus. One of the things that amazes me is that these young ladies that are going out on the mission field, we don't see too many single guys heading out, but we see a lot of women responding to the call to missions. And you just kind of shake your head and you wonder, and I'm excited about it, but it takes some boldness to go to some of these places that these young ladies are going to out on their own, leaving their families and going out and starting some ministry. We have a friend called Bettina, and she had a vision for Myanmar, and so she went through all the process of the Assemblies of God. And so when she got finished, instead of her vision, which is working with kids, starting an orphanage, she was a nurse, a registered nurse, she went out and they said, we want you to join a team that's starting a coffee house. How many know that's a big difference between a coffee house and an orphanage? And so she had to come to the decision, what am I going to do? And she made the decision to step out of the Assemblies of God, create her own ministry, and she went to Myanmar and started an orphanage. In fact, I think she started two orphanages, one for girls, one for boys. And she just returned there recently, and we'll probably have her come through sometime when she's on furlough. But she is an individual. We have Stephanie Allen that we just picked up last year, who is going to Bangladesh. And how many know Bangladesh isn't the safest place in the world to travel these days? But yet, the call upon her life, she followed. So don't wait. When God speaks, I'm encouraging you, respond. Because once we're down that road, guess what? We can't recoup the time. We can't go back. Time is a limited resource. Life is a one-time deal. And we are called to make the best of it. So I'm encouraging you, make the best of it. So Solomon's words were, don't wait until you age out. He said, don't wait to follow him then. That's what makes following Jesus exciting. I started my adventure at 18. 3 months after my 18th birthday, I was gone. Jesus gave me a traveling buddy at age 24. And we have traveled to many, 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 many places. More than probably what we would like. When I say too many places, you could add an extra O on there. T-O-O, too many places. Right, Karen? Yep. But she's still here with me, and she still loves me and exalts me, prays for me. We have participated in numerous ministries that we thought we'd never be involved in. We have met a lot of wonderful believers in our travels. It is amazing, the solid believers that are all around the world, just loving on Jesus, and we had a privilege of being part of their lives. We have witnessed God do wonderful things for us. You don't have to be in the ministry for God to do incredible provision in your life. God will meet your need where you're at. And we have seen God over and over and again, not just supply money, but a lot of other things. God even supplied us children. We couldn't have children. God even gave us children. A lot of the great things that God does for us. But there is also that work that he does in us. And, of course, I'm as immature as I was then. Karen thinks I'm as weird now as I was then, if not weirder at times. But the truth is, he has changed us. He has done a lot in us. But what's amazing is that he chooses to work through us. And the people that we've been able to minister to, the people we've seen saved, filled, healed, delivered, God's changed lives and through the ministries of our that we've had. And so we have no regrets. I didn't ask her for permission to say that. I have no regrets. But do you have any? All right. She said no. All right. We have no regrets. And so we have come to this place here today that Solomon has said, don't forget your Creator. Honor him with your youth. Open doors. I encourage you, be praying for those open doors. And when they do open, I pray that you'll have the confidence and the courage to step through it. He also said, don't wait, because as we age, the less we're going to respond. The truth is, we don't respond well. And some of us are established, some of us have roots, some of us have families, houses, bills, all kinds of wonderful things that we feel obligated to fulfill over the obligation of following Jesus Christ. We sing, we pray, Lord, you first. Love the Lord God first. Love our neighbor second. We can quote scripture. We can quote lyrics to songs today about how we have pledged ourselves to follow him, and yet many have not. Some of us have aged out. So I'm going to ask this morning. If you're under the age of 40, I'd like you to stand in here today. It's just a random number. And if you're holding at 39, some of you older people, and you feel 39 or pretending you're 39, you're welcome to stand here today. I just want to say here today that God has no regrets for making man. As much as we look at this horrific world and we see what people are doing to each other and what state we're in, he has no regrets. Jesus Christ has no regrets going to the cross. Though most of the world is going their way, Jesus was the first of many brethren. He has no regrets for laying his life down for us in this room today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to encourage you here today. And this is for all of us in this room, even us older folks. I'm putting myself in there. I'm almost 60. Don't forget your Creator. Honor him with your youth. Honor him with your life now when the opportunity is ready. Open doors will come. Sometimes we recognize it, sometimes we don't. But I encourage you, pray for those open doors. Because if you think this is all there is to Christianity coming here on a Sunday morning, you're mistaken. You've missed the boat. Our life is to be lived out there, not here. There are open doors that he has for us, and we need to recognize them when they're open and recognize when God closes a door as well. Don't cry about it. Don't pout about it. I didn't get that job. I didn't get this. I didn't get that special person. Hallelujah. Maybe you didn't want that special person. I'm looking at some of the pictures of my classmates from 1982. I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus, for Karen. Amen. Some of those girls I thought were kind of wonderful. Hallelujah. Love you, baby. Hallelujah. And secondly, don't wait. Opportunities won't last. Don't get stuck in the rut. Be brave, be bold, step out. We moved multiple times. I did sing when I was single. I did it when I was married. We moved when we had kids. Nothing held us back. We moved forward with him. I just want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come at the conclusion of this service. And Lord, we look at Solomon's wisdom here in this last chapter, Lord, as he's wrapping up this book that he wrote. And Father, there's a lot of great advice in here, and I encourage those that are here today to open up the book of Ecclesiastes, start from chapter 1 and go to the end. I pray, Father, that they may find themselves in the midst of this chapter, Lord, as they're seeking after certain things in life. And Solomon plainly said, all is vanity. And he said that it doesn't result in anything. And so, Lord, We find pleasure in you. I pray today that each and every one that's standing, those that are sitting here today in this house today, Lord, will be encouraged, Lord, to be open to what you would have for them. Lord, that this isn't the final destination, but Lord, this is just a starting point. This is, Lord, where you want us to go out from here to do what you've called us to do. Lord, many in here will not be called into full-time ministry. I used a lot of missionary illustrations here today. God will probably not even call them to be a missionary, but Lord, I pray that there'll be a missionary here in their workplace, in their homes, in their families, Lord, in their communities, Lord. I pray, Father, that we will not forget you. We will honor you with all that is in us, with our mind, with our soul, with our spirit, and with our strength, Lord. We will put you first, Lord, that we will walk through the open doors, Lord. We'll forget about the closed doors, and we will press on with you. I pray, Lord, that there will not be a hesitancy, Father, but that there will be a movement toward what you do. We may not understand all the details. Not all the pieces will come out that what the next step is. But, Lord, we are to walk by faith, not by sight. And so, Father, I'm just encouraging these young people, these young congregants here today, Lord, to know, Lord, that this isn't the end. You have something in store for all of us, Lord. It may include us as single people. It may include us as married couple. It may include our family. And I pray today, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they'll go to the end of their life when we see in this scripture here, Lord, where the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well, Lord, that they will look back on their life and say, I have no regrets. I followed Jesus with all that I had and all that I am. And that's my prayer for them today, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.